Looking forward to another series of sessions with you. So this season we're doing different topics, medical topics, specifically by Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss is a very well-known posek halakhic authority that interacts with really all Orthodox Jewish communities, including ours. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's the head of a yeshiva. He's the head of, he's a posek for Shari Tzedek. He's very well versed in modern technology issues. He's issued many piskei halacha for people on questions dealing with the war, the continuing war with Hamas, with Hezbollah, and he's many modern shilas, and he has many tshuvos called Minchas Asher, and some of them came out in English in a book. So I'm taking four topics, and I'm going to for this season, and we're going to learn different topics, each one, but all relating to medical halacha, and at the end of the day, what Rav Asher Weiss holds. So this, the first topic is, we can talk about it, the use of alternative medicine. So I'll give you an example, okay? I'm not very well versed in this, but there's something called Reiki, for example. Some of you really know, and some of you are like, what's going on here? So about 100 years ago, so there was this doctor, I don't know if I pronounced his name correct, Mikao Usui, but he lived in Japan. He studied in a Buddhist monastery, and he had an interest in medicine, psychology, and theology, and he studied about different healers and their powers, and he wanted to seek a way to heal himself and heal others, to learn about this, and using what we call smicha, laying of the hands. So he basically, at some point, he has this 21-day period when he fasts, he engages in meditation and prayer in this cave in this Mount Kurama, and afterwards, the story goes, that he feels that he has the ability to channel healing energy, and he apparently, according to the story, he begins to heal people. And he formulates this whole system, and combining his understanding of energy healing with Japanese spiritual traditions, and he begins teaching others. And a Japanese-American woman, I think Hawayo Takata, brings Reiki to the West in the 1930s. So he had his spirit, R-E-I-K-I, so, and this started in the 1920s. And she brings it to the West in the 1930s. And it's based on the idea, again, I'm not very well expert in this, so you can do more research, but it's based on the idea that there's this universal life force. Universal life force energy flows through all living beings, and it can be harnessed to promote physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And the practitioners use their hands. They place their hands over the body to encourage balance and healing. The patient makes certain symbols. And I want to discuss sort of three separate issues here. This is that Rav Asher Weiss discusses. Number one is, and I'll discuss also what he holds and what some others hold. Hold on one second. We're first going to talk about, are you allowed to refuse conventional treatment? Is that allowed halakhically? Number two is, can you use alternative versus conventional medicine? And number three, is this alternative medicine some form of avodah zarah or sorcery? Is it forbidden based on this kind of practice? Yeah, what's your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to define the Reiki approach.
Right. So I think so. I think.
I think they put it
on certain points where they believe there's some energy flows. The best places where to put your hands up. I think so. Yes. Can you refuse? We'll see, I guess, how some of the posts can deal with it, and they'll discuss it a little bit. So can you refuse treatment and just rely on God? So there are those who hold, there's a minority view out there that says that they quote a Ramban. You know, those who take the view that you know what, we don't need conventional treatments. After all, if we're righteous enough, we could simply rely on God. And what they do is they quote a Ramban. And the Ramban says, this is the Ramban's it's commentary on Parsha Bechukosai. Bechukosai is, in Parsha Bechukosai, we have the Tochacha. The Tochacha tells us if we behave ourselves, so we will be rewarded. If we don't behave ourselves, we'll be punished. Yeah.
This isn't anything new. 2 or 3 years ago, had the doctors believe that the body had humors, bad humors, and good humors.
Right.
And they bled people and tried to bring the humors into balance too.
Right.
It's not like they say they release stuck energy.
Right.
Right.
So I don't know. So I'm just talking about modern depression. Okay. So I think here they believe that there was a certain energy. Okay. Right. You can only prove if you have a certain number of outcomes, and the question is that prove it or not. So the Ramban. So this is like a well-known Ramban, somewhat well-known Ramban. The Ramban, when he talks about in Parsha Bechukosai, that if we observe the mitzvot, there will be physical rewards. So Ramban says, Vaklal, and the rule is, Ki bios Yisrael shleim v'heim rabim, when the Jewish people are whole and numerous, lo yisnag inyanam b'teva klal, their affairs will not be governed by natural law, lo begufam v'lo ba'artam, lo bichalam v'lo biyachimehem, not in their land, not collectively, not individually. Why? Ki yavarech Hashem lachmama meimam. God will bless their bread and their water. V'yasir machla mikirbam. And God will remove sickness from them. Ad shalo yitzdarchu l'rofe lishtam b'derech midarchei harufu'os klal. They won't need doctors. We won't need medical treatments. The Rambam famously disagrees, but let's just focus on the Ramban. The Ramban says, and the Ramban, you know, one of his proofs is the story in Sefer Yeshayahu, or also Malachim. There was a king, Chizkiyahu, who got sick. And so he turns to Yeshayahu, and he didn't turn to the doctors, and he did tshuva, he repented, and then he felt better, and then he was healed. And Devar Yamim, specifically, when it recalls the story, says he didn't turn to the doctors. But So the truth is, there is the Avni Nezer, who's the Sochet Shavar. He was a great Hasidic leader. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a brilliant Talmud Chacham. And he writes a tshuva in Avni Nezer, Choshe Mishpat, Simon Kuf, Tzadi Gimel, something from his father, the Avni Nezer's father. And he writes the following, Nidon HaShela, Imuter L'chola Lishtos L'Refua Cholav Tameh. So the question is, so let's say someone who's sick, he needs to drink non-kosher milk. And that was the medical treatment. Whether it's medically correct or not, but we're assuming that was the doctors think so. Gamas harofim, im rofim omim shetzarech, if the doctors say that he needs to drink this non-kosher milk, imuter lechola lahachmir latushol yishtos. Are you allowed to be strict and say, I don't want to take this medication because I want to rely on God? And the Avnei Nezer's father uses the Ramban. He says, Nira devada yuchal hachola hatzadik lismoch al ha'Eben Ezra. He also points to Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra basically says that there's a pasuk which says in Parsha Mishpatim, v'rapo yirape, that if someone's sick, that he should surely be healed. Rashi famously says on this pasuk that when the Torah says v'rapo yirape, the Torah gives the doctors the right to heal. When the Torah gives the doctors the right to heal, why shouldn't they be allowed to? So even if the doctors make a mistake, they have the right to heal. Maybe you should say, we should take a deterministic view. Who are we to play God? Right? We partner with God. We don't play God. But Torah gives us the right to heal wounds. And Ibn Ezra has this very unusual position. It's unusual. He says, That permission applies to external wounds, not internal wounds, not our topic. But he quotes the Ibn Ezra, but for our purposes, he says you can rely on the Ramban. That if you don't want to eat, if you say, listen, I'm going to dive into Hashem, I'm going to rely on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm going to dive into Hashem, I don't want to take this medication, you can rely on the Ramban. And in his tshuva, Rav Asher Weiss says he disagrees with this position. In other words, it's not just we don't pass like the Ramban. He says, no. It's true, the Ramban says what he says, but we have to understand what he says. I guess, so to start off again, Ramban in Parshas Chukotai says, seemingly, that if we are, the Jewish people are, we're observing mitzvot, Torah mitzvot, we can turn to the Navi and we don't have to turn to refuah, to medicine. And the father of Nazir says, based on this, someone can have the faith and not take medicine. But Rav Asher Weiss disagrees. And let me explain to you why he disagrees. So first of all, he says, the Ramban didn't only write a commentary on the Torah. He also wrote another work, a halachic work, called Toras Adam. Toras Adam is a work where the Ramban talks about laws and customs related to death and mourning and the afterlife. And in this, in source 3, he says, "Umistabra," and it's reasonable to say, "The Hadam Rina Nitna Torah Rishus Larofe the Rapos," that when we say that the Torah gave permission to the doctor to heal based on the pasuk Rapi Rape, the Gemara says actually, from here we see that the doctor has the right to heal. Lomar She'eno Aser Mishum Chashas Hashgaga, to tell you that you can't. It's not prohibited for a doctor to heal, even though he might mess up. Aval Hai Rishus, but he says when it says it's a Rishus, it means it's the doctor is permitted to heal. He says Rishus the mitzvah hu, the mitzvah the rapo. So even though it says the Gemara says Rishus, it doesn't simply mean okay you're allowed to. But he says no, if you can heal someone, it's a mitzvah. Why? Because it's pikuach nefesh. So the Ramban, in his halachic work, seems to say that when a doctor can heal someone, he should heal someone, and you can't simply say, "I don't want to be healed." So, what do we do with this other Ramban al Torah? So, the Rashba. So he says, and the Rashba says, "Well, how do we sort of balance this idea of having faith in God and also relying on doctors?" The Rashba says in source 4, Chelek in his Chuvos, Chelek Av Simon Tuf Yud Gimel. He says, "Kol sheish bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darchei amori." If anything you do for medicinal purposes, there's no, it's not considered a pagan practice. V'lo od, and not only that, Ela she'asur lahachnis binyanei asakanos v'livtoach al hanes. He says you can't rely on miracles. You can't endanger yourself relying on miracles. V'amru, when they said, "Kol asomech al hanes, eino simlomes." Anyone says I'm going to rely on a miracle, we don't make a miracle for him. Umutu livtoach ba'adam, and you can rely on a person. V'hu shelo yasur libo min Hashem. You're allowed to rely on people to heal you, as long as that's not, I'm relying on someone and not God, as opposed to God. V'amru arura gever sheivtach ba'adam mi Hashem yasur libo. Yes, it does say in Tehillim, cursed be the person who relies on man and he turns away from God. But to say I'm relying on God, and hopefully, right, and God should create a salvation through this messenger, that's permitted, and it's a mitzvah to do that. He does so, he says at the very end, and this includes basically everyone in their work in general. He says, Zulasi ha'nashim ha'shleimim v'shez chuyosem rubos. It could be that there could be people who are in a very, very, very high level who, you know, they have tremendous merits. And he cites the story of the story of Rachina and Bendosa with this arud, with this, what's an arud? An arud is a serpent. There is a story, basically, that there's this, the Mishnah talks about there's this scary serpent, this poisonous serpent that went attacking people. And then, the serpent meets Rachina and Bendosa and it dies. So it says, "Oilo the Adam shapaga ba'arud." You know, woe to the person who confronts the serpent, but oilo la arud shapaga ba'rachin bendosa. Woe to the serpent who met Rachin bendosa. So he says, "Okay, maybe." Rashi says there could be not your average person who says, "Okay, I want to rely on a miracle." Someone who's like, again, this is like one in a generation. Who that person is? Maybe one in a generation can maybe rely on miracles, but that's not how most of us should behave. And furthermore, Rav Asher Weiss cites the Taz. The Taz is a commentary, a 17th century commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And the Taz says, in this halacha, in Yoredea Simon Shin Lamed Vav Sif Katan Aleph, he says that the Torah gives a permission, it's a mitzvah. And he says, Kasha, Kevin Devanis Mitzvah, Hi Lama Kari La Tchilas Rishus. If it says it's a mitzvah to heal yourself, why does the Gemara say, Rishus, you're allowed to? So he says, V'nira dehachi hu, kavanas inyan. This is what it means. The refuah ha-mitis hi al-pi ba-kashas rachim dishmai yesh la-refuah. He says, listen, Why is it called you're permitted to have someone heal as opposed to it's a mitzvah? Because fundamentally, at the end of the day, it all depends on God. At the end of the day, you have to have, you know that the true refuah comes from davening to Hashem that you should be healed. Ela she'ein ha'adam zoche l'kach, but we don't necessarily merit, you know, this high level. Ela she'tzarich lasas refuah pitev adam. Most of us, we have to go by nature. And God agreed with this. And God gave us medicine. All yidei teva harefuos based on the natural types of healings. Vizel nisinas rishus shel kadosh baruch hu. This is what Hashem gave to everyone. Hashem gave us the gift of medicine, and so therefore yeshchiv al rofi las refuos. And therefore it's an obligation on the doctor to do medical treatments. And then he cites the Ramban, and he says, this is what the Ramban means. In other words, the Taz says, yes, the Ramban in Parshas B'Chukosai says that if someone he shouldn't rely on doctors, he should rely on God. The answer is true. You should rely, maybe the highest person, or maybe when someone's on the highest level, maybe they can only, rely on, maybe can only the one in a generation can just rely on God. But for all of us, for 99.999% of people, what we do is we should believe that God is the one who heals us, but he gives us messengers in this world called doctors. The Taz believes this is even what the Ramban means in Parshas B'Chukosai. And the Magen Avraham says, another 16th, 17th century commentary of the Shulchan Aruch, says, Rofe Echad, he says, Im lo ratza achol akapel trufa kofidoso. If a sick person does not want to receive a medicine, again, we're talking about situation where it's not an end of life situation. It's like where this medicine will clearly help him. Everyone agrees the medicine will clearly help him. So then we force him to take it. So Rav Asher Weiss basically says on the first issue, he thinks that the Ramban is not what people quote him to say. And even if it means you have complete faith in Hashem, it means it's through the use of doctors. And maybe, could be that maybe one in a generation could be at this optimal level of the Ramban. The Ramban does believe in the Messianic era. He has a more mystical view of the Messianic era, not like the Rambam, and he believes in the Messianic era, perhaps it's going to be like a supernatural type of world. But for us, in today's day and age, all of us should not follow the position of the father of Avnei Nezer. That's what Rav Asher Weiss says, that you should use, you shouldn't simply say, I'm going to let God take care of everything. The more complicated issue, of course, is what about, can you use alternative a form of healing versus the conventional form, right? Yeah.
I'm just listening to all the discussion about this, and it just seems very like as the Torah talks about Rakhus Afrotecha. I mean, I hear the wording about the Rabbi world, but right. The essence of the Torah is always about doing it ourselves, not just about and say God will provide. Along that is the idea that God exists in the background of all this.
Right.
And even this Ramban, this first Ramban, I'm just reading it again, on both sides, he paints utopian pictures.
Right.
He told me there was a time when the people of Israel are whole and numerous, This is like a utopian ideal, so.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. No, I agree with you. You should read the whole piece because I only have snippets. I only want to make it 6 pages. But you should. No. I'm saying no. I agree with you. I think you're right. I think the Ramban points this like the Ramban holds. The Messianic era is a utopian ideal, and but if you interpret it literally, you could say the question: are we referring to the whole nation or can we refer to individuals? And again, we can make room for maybe one in a generation, but that's not the standard view. So, yeah. Sure.
If you were to fast forward this whole notion, and you're going to die anyway,
right?
So does the refusal to receive medication come into any of this? Is there?
Right? Brody spoke about this. In other words, what's he saying? He says that Torah says that we should live, but if it's just preventing, if it has to be a certain quality of life. I mean, here's a good lesson which I forgot, but the point being, if someone, the Torah promotes active living, not active dying. So if someone's in a state of active dying, so maybe you wouldn't necessarily need to do these things. So that's a separate.
There's a moment where you refuse treatment when it would be beneficial.
But again, beneficial to live a normal life. No, that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, if someone is basically dying, or someone has no hope of leading a meaningful life, whatever that means, so then Virapa Yurape might be assuming that they can have some baseline quality of life. When that doesn't exist, so then there might not be, you might have more options, I'm saying. So
I'm saying that you have patients who refuse treatment, perhaps based on their view of what religion tells them.
Oh yeah, I understand. Okay, people can refuse whatever they want. I'm saying, I think the Torah would say that if they can have normal, if again, 99%, and I want to say what's some threshold. If everyone assumes that this is good for you and then you can live a meaningful life, then we should actually try to administer, it could be law, we can't violate the secular law, but we should administer it. Yeah, Howie?
I agree with Rose, we're at the same point. Had a neighbor who was diagnosed with
right.
So he used radiation and chemo.
Right.
They called him. If he didn't have it, he could have 5 months of good life before the cancer set in.
Right.
If he didn't have it, he could do all the many months, he could be set by all the after test side effects on the radiation and cancer. He said,
right.
It's not going to help him, why would I suggest
that? Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. Right. Correct. Correct. We're talking about here where someone could, the fact pattern here is that we're not talking about end of life situations. We're talking about here where if someone there is a clear treatment that could the doctors will say the person could live a healthy, normal, good quality of life, however that's defined. But you're right. We're not talking about end-of-life situations. Okay. So what about alternative form of healing versus conventional? So it's interesting, again, we're looking at our Masorah tradition. So the Rashba in Sor 7, this same tshuva, Chelek Av Simon Tov Yud Gimel, when he talks about someone who's afflicted with illness, He says, you can't rely on miracles by refraining from consulting doctors or engaging in beneficial remedies, right? Based on the pasuk of Virapo Yurape. And he says, the Torah says, Nitne Rishus. What does it mean, Nitne Rishus? The Torah is given permission. What does it mean? Shein Zehevech Mashi Zira Tov Ashkocha. It doesn't contradict the Torah's principle of divine providence. The fact that doctors are healing, it doesn't go against Hashkocha Pratis, that just relying on God. You have to partner with God. So he said, and he writes, Uven geder ze nichnasu kol darche arufuos, and within this framework, all forms of healing are included. Afilu ma shemoel biskula min haskulos bein batzamim bein bidvorim, even those with seemingly mystical properties, whether using physical substances or specific actions. Vezeder hakamim, and these are the way of amulets. Bein kamia shokta bein kamia shalikarim. Whether written amulets or herbal amulets. So already, right, we're talking, this is, how you were talking about a few hundred years ago, we're talking already amulet, this is, we're talking in the Rashbas living in the 13th and 14th centuries. So they have all these amulets, which these are alternative methods here, and the Rashba seems to be okay with it. However, so there's an interesting question. Can you be mechalal Shabbos? Can you override Shabbos for refuah? So the answer, of course, is yes. If it's like a potentially pikuach nefesh, life-threatening situation, but the Magen, that's in source 8, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simon Shin Kav Ches Seif Beis, and the Magen Avram says, but wait a second, you can only violate Shabbos for medical treatment, again for a potentially life-threatening situation. Divoinan, it needs. Shetehe harefua yedua al pimumcha. It has to be well known or prescribed by an expert. So in other words, it has to be a tested and tried therapy. So who? Okay, so you can, who's a mumcha? Okay, we can debate. How you define that? Okay, but okay, we'll see how Rav Asher Weiss at least applies this. Okay, and we also have a commentary of the Rambam. The Rambam talks about in Maseches Yoma Peraches Mishadal. In Maseches Yoma, they talk about. Yoma Mishnah Yoma is about Yom Kippur, about the obligation to fast. But they talk about what if someone can't fast, someone's sick, and so part of Maseches Yoma is describing different types of treatment. So the halachic principles are for the most part, you know, eternal, but they're exact ways of how treating someone who is unhealthy or who is potentially life-threatening, so one can question those methods. The Rambam, in his commentary on one of the Mishnah, he says, "Ein halach k'rabasya ben charash, ben charash, shehid yalachal as adam yom kippur, yoser es kavi shalakelev shotim nashach." So apparently, Rabbi Masya ben Charash thought, he believed, that you can feed on Yom Kippur. If someone was bitten by a dog, you can feed him the lobe of the liver of the mad dog. So the Rambam says, we don't pass it like this. Why? It is only effective as a mystical remedy, a skula. And Chachamim say, Ein ovrim al mitzvah, ela baripoy bilvad. You can only set aside, you can only violate the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur for a healing, shehu davar barur, that is something that is clearly established. Higayon v'hanisayon hapashu mechayim moso, that's supported by reason and experience. Aval haripoy biskulos lo, but based on skulos, it's not permitted. Lefi she inyanam chalush, because their basis is weak. Lo yechayvu ha'igayon, they're not rationally compelling. V'nisyon rachok, their efficacy is distant. V'hi taina min ha'toin ba, and relying on them is speculative. V'zehu klal gadol, this is an important general principle. Dayehu, take note of this. And based on this, so how do we apply this alternative medicine? So Rav Asher Weiss brings these sources in his tshuva, in his responsum, and he says the following. This is in translation what he writes in source 11. He says, thus we see that one does not desecrate Shabbos or violate any prohibition except with tried and tested remedies that were established through scientific knowledge and experimentation. It is my opinion that alternative therapy is not included in this category. Many people err and mislead others with such therapy, and the masses pin their hope on matters which have no substance and are useless and ineffectual. Now, it is true that there are alternative therapies which are certainly based on correct and beneficial principles. There are likewise many healers who are both expert and honest. However, it is difficult to effectively determine which are reliable and which are not. And in this matter, light and darkness are intertwined. It is certainly correct to say that alternative therapy has not been tried and tested through scientific knowledge and experimentation, and as has standard medical practice. Therefore, it seems that a person is obligated wherever possible to use tried and tested conventional and accepted therapies, and only if he has no remedy or hope with standard medicine is he allowed to turn solely to alternative medical methods. It's interesting because he seems to say it's not a problem, but he says certainly Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you can't violate Shabbos for these methods. And but he's saying more than that, he's saying you should not use alternative, you should first go to conventional therapy, which raises the question, of course, well, is this avodah zarah? Is this a silly? How do we view alternative therapies? He says step one is primary through the tried and true therapies, conventional therapies. Yeah.
The only alternative medicine that's been discussed here is amulets.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Oh, so he's talking about. So I'm going to tell you, he's talking about these things like Reiki and other things. We're going to see. Another alternative therapies are generally assumed to be these energy transferring. We're going to see another tshuva, and I'll tell you what he talks about.
That's a big umbrella.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. What? Acupuncture is not. So I think acupuncture is okay. What? So acupuncture. So again, so he doesn't mention, he hasn't talked about acupuncture. I'll tell you what he specifically. So the first tshuva, he just says alternative therapy. In a second tshuva, when he talks about whether it's forbidden, he sees the specific question was something called EFT therapy, what he calls emotional freedom techniques, where you balance the body's energy system to relieve emotional distress and physical pain. It was developed in the 1990s. And I think what you do is, I read a little bit about this, that a person focuses on a specific issue, like he has anxiety about a certain event, and while concentrating on this issue, the individual taps on specific points on the body, which are believed to correspond to energy meridians. Now, energy meridians are pathways in the body through which the chi, the body's life force, flows, and they repeat some declarations related to this issue. So I don't think we're talking about acupuncture. I think that there's this belief that there's certain kind of like energy flow, And so that's what he's asking. That's what these tshuvos are about. Now, by the way, this is very big in like the Haredi community, and Rav in 2017, Rav Belsky, who passed away, so he wrote. I mean, there's a book that he wrote an article about some of these therapies, and he's very like this is a big division within the Haredi community. So this is a little bit of what Rav Belsky wrote in 2017. So is this Darche Mori means the ways of the Amorites, the pagans. Is this like a pagan practice which is forbidden? You know, Soloveitchik and Nefesh HaRav, someone wanted to know if they can practice like hypnosis on someone. So Rav Soloveitchik, this is Nefesh HaRav, Schechter's book on Rav Soloveitchik, he asked, are you allowed to do hypnosis on someone? You know, and he says, it's Asur. So he says, why is it Asur? Says because it's stupid. In the Hebrew, it says es sabach tes bav yud pei dam. Stupid. Okay. So he says. So anyway, but in any case, so Rav Belsky has a different take. Rav Belsky writes. He says amazingly. Look at this. This is from his article. The Reiki practitioners find some kind of acceptability in all places. However, I have looked through their literature, and once again, it is filled with terminology of Avodah Zarah. All their stuff is taken out of this literature, this ancient, you know, literature, like idolatrous literature and the like. A Jew may not use anything that was created from a deceitful source, which includes even missionaries. That's another point, by the way. That in other words, let's say there's something which came from a pagan source, but now, can you do it? Not for pagan purposes. So he says, who can rely on his understanding to judge and clarify which action to accept, right, and which to shun? It has come out of one source, tuma, impurity, and practiced as one interconnected unit. Who will dare try to separate the tahor from the tame? So, right. So this is what he writes. And then he says, all of the above are matters of a very severe prohibition of idolatry or other prohibitions combined with idolatry, sorcery, divination, omen, possession of false opinions, resulting from idolatry and heresy. Each according to the subtle differences between the various methods. And he wasn't like a Harif. Rav Belsky wasn't like a Harif person, but he took a very strong, he wasn't someone who always like said everything is awesome. That wasn't his personality, but he felt very strongly about this. He said, the types of healing methods associated with the above are based on one general principle called universal energy. According to its false comprehension, according to its false comprehension, this force, this universal energy, extends from one end of the world to the other, surrounds every living creature with a special aura, and has a separate mind and independent will with the ability to benefit or cause harm. Among those who believe in controlling this energy are the vast majority of idol worshippers, past and present, including those who employ sorcery, magic, and most of the opinions emanating from the Far East. Some of these people practice their craft almost exactly the same way the original worshippers of the Baal and Asherah did. It is Avodah Zarah in its truest form. So needless to say, he's not a fan. Yeah.
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
The first thing is that does the halacha consider the emotional state of the individual who is sick and dying? In other words, if he says he verbalizes or we see that he reacts to something and his mindset and his desire to live is, even though it's not a proven medical thing, is that an acceptable reason for using something that he might?
Yeah, maybe. We'll try to address that later on. I'm going to address that later on.
The second question is, I don't believe that people who believe in the energy of the world are necessarily doing that at all desire.
Right.
I happen to believe there's a positive energy in the world.
Right.
And I don't
Good. Good. Let's see the next source. Good. No, in other words, you can disagree. No, I understand. But you could disagree. You could disagree with Rabelsky on the facts or on the halacha, right? I'm saying. So let's read. So there's this rabbi, if you're very into this, so he wrote this book, and he has a lot of askamos, but a lot of rabbis were very opposed to this book. But this rabbi, Rafael, Zmiria, Alternative Medicine Halacha, is also from 7 years ago. So he's like very into this stuff. And he has all these like, he's like Haredi, I'm saying. This is not like a, you know, like a frum versus non-frum. Like many people, in the religious world, like, you know, some people do this stuff. So he wrote this whole book, and he apparently got a lot of askamos. And he writes, in reality, he's referring to Rabelsky. He says, in reality, This contention is simply mistaken, for even if qi were viewed as a deity, right, this energy, he says, the act of hands-on healing itself is not an act of worship. Just put your hands on someone, it's not an act of avodah zarah. What's avodah zarah? Avodah zarah is you're doing something to appease a god. He said, nowhere in the healing arts literature does one find any mention of hands-on technique as a means of appeasing or serving qi. Rather, they are clearly described as a technical means of manipulating the qi energy. Let's say you believe there's some energy out there, so you're not appeasing qi, you're utilizing this energy for your benefit. A healer behaves qi towards qi, not as a servant towards his master, but as a master over a servant. Just like, for example, there are scientific principles that there are certain forces out there, physical forces, like to generate electricity. A scientist knows how to manipulate certain forces in order to, generate electricity or electric current. So you're not worshiping electricity, right? So he says, if a healer would in fact perform some action intended to appease the qi and convince it to heal, this would undeniably constitute an act of worship. However, the process of energy healing does not include appeasing the qi in any way and cannot be viewed as a form of odazara. Standard hands-on healing practices do not involve any aspects of idolatry, sorcery, or darche amori. One may practice a benefit such as therapies as long as the practitioner does not believe that qi is a deity, and the practitioner does not blend his practice with prohibited elements. This rabbi felt. Again, he's not necessarily, he wrote a tremendous amount of sources. So, but what have Poskim said about this? So there's a tshuva here by Rav Moshe Sternbach. He's a big posek. He's almost 100 years old. He's a member of the Eide Charedis, so he's pretty from in Yerushalayim, like the Charedi based in Yerushalayim. And so he writes the following in Source 14. This is in Krach Vav Siman Kufayin Zayin. Vine harbe ofanei rufua alternativit. So many of these different types of alternative medicine. Heim alpi yisod shiesh energia olamit. Based on universal energy, and in raising brackets, qi. Right? It permeates everything and flows into the human body. And in the eastern countries, kisin. And by the way, you have to understand also, they're paskening in a world where many people are practicing this. So I'm saying this is not like a shayla that comes up where like, here's something new, should we do this or not? Like a lot of people are using it. So I'm saying you're paskening a shayla when it's, well, a lot of people think it's really bad and a lot of people are practicing it. So it's like it's a different world of a psak, when people are doing it already than if it's being introduced. In any case, he says that So he said in the eastern countries, like China, some people actually believe that universal energy is divine and they worship it. So therefore, it's a very severe prohibition to be healed by doctors from China or is it Turkey? India. I apologize. I'm thinking too much. Thanksgiving. Because they're practicing avodah zarah. No, but they're doing it. In other words, they're doing it on you. They're doing avodah zarah on you. So you're mesalei varvera. Okay. I mean, they're practicing. They're engaged in idolatrous practice. But on you. You're mesalei varvera. You're assisting in idolatrous practice. Okay. So he says, if I feel about people that be who nevertheless, my shehem aminim shenergia hu elohut, ain't ze also lisrapa benergia olamit. Mirofi bre brit hasum sheyesh energia olamim, beyodim shu rak koch, she yatar kodesh baruchu bebria lashpi energia lolam, vein lo yuchol laso meatsmo kla. But nevertheless, he says, it is not forbidden treatment of using this universal energy from Jewish practitioners who believe in existence, and they say it's a natural life force, like Heshi believes, that created by God during creation, designed to influence the world with no independent power on its own. And look what he writes in the brackets. He says, "Uchmo shema shenochim ovdin l'shemesh, ain't ze oser lado lisrael with b'shemesh." You know, let's say you believe. You need to get some sun. You need what vitamin is sun? You need to get some sun. Oh, I can't go out to the sun because there are people who worship the sun. We don't say that. So he thinks that you, just because people use it for idolatrous reasons, doesn't mean you can't benefit if you don't do it for idolatrous reasons, yeah? Okay.
If insurance doesn't cover the treatments, no one's going to use it.
Okay.
I mean, fact of the matter, it's not going to cover all these things.
Okay, that's a financial question. I can't speak to that. Okay, I think, but my point is, Howie, a lot of people are using this. And not a lot of people, but there are people, there are from people who are using it, such that there's a whole sefer written on it, and people wrote disagree with this, and it's all to do with it. In any case, just want to point out that does the Torah ever, do we ever find out some idea about some, is there in our tradition some notion of like some kind of healing power? Right. So some people say it's a question about like what was he, was that made right? So the truth is, we'll get to it. So look here, even before that. So there's a Ramban. The Ramban in Hamuna Vibitachon, the Ramban writes in chapter 24, this is a sefer he wrote. We'll just read it in English. So let's return to our source 15. It says, let's return to our topic and say that after Rachel had finished giving birth, she brought her maidservant Bilhah to Yaakov. And what did she say? He said, Hine Amosi Bilhah. He said, here's my maidservant Bilhah. Ba'elaha, be intimate with her. Fetaled al birkai. And what does that mean? And she will bear children on my knees. That's very strange. He says, why did it say that she'll bear children on my knees? Just say, let her, you know, be intimate with her, and I'll build a family through her. What's this on my knees? So he says, let me finish. He says, one might suggest that the phrase "should bear children on my knees" refers to something literal. The reason for this is Olam Chesed Yibana. The world is built through kindness. He says, I too will build a family through her. It's like the continuation of transmission of strength, exemplifying not just from what did it say by Moshe with Yeshua. It says, what does it say? Hashem said to him, he says, Kach lachas Yeshua binun, take Yeshua, ish asher ruach bo, a person with spirit in him, v'samachta shiachalav, lay your hands on him, right? Lay your hands on him. And the pasuk says, v'nasata mehotchalav, and you give some of your honor, your glory on him, lay your hands on him. So Moshe transmitted his spiritual energy to Yeshua. Also, Yaakov, he did it with Ephraim ben Asher when he put his hands on them. Right? And I think he also, in this passage, I think he may have also mentioned Elisha. And so therefore, the end, according to his interpretation, this is what Ramban says, Rachel wanted to draw upon the strength of childbirth. That's why she said, she will bear children on my knees, and I too will bear a family through her. By bearing children on her knees, she would draw from her strength in a way as if she could only receive power from her, since not everyone is fortunate enough to receive it. So some idea that through the birth, somehow some of the fertility, power of fertility, will be transferred to Rachel.
What? In the means business, the interpretations that I saw in that were that she would physically give birth while Sarah was right next to her, so it would appear.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, there are other explanations. 100%. There are definitely other explanations. My only point to you is that this idea of some kind of energy perhaps could be found in the words of the Ramban, maybe. Now, Rav, yeah? To rise, right.
So that's a good disease of the spiritual nature. So
right.
So would that be, how do
you
know
if you can have how to heal that, right.
Spiritual,
right. So there, again, it's a very good question. There probably are different Mefarshim who have different explanations of that. The simple understanding is that there's clearly physical signs of an ailment, but like the kind of, the response is just, you just stay away. You're not taking any treatment. Like you're not engaged. You just quarantine until it goes away. So unless they're saying, it's like a virus. It just goes away at some point. Many Mefarshim say that again, because there's no using a Kohen as opposed to a doctor. Again, we're the doctors in those days. But there's no physical treatment. They're just saying, you quarantine yourself, so it seemed that if you do tshuva, then it might go away, maybe. So in any case, so let's just read a couple more sources here, just really two more. So Moshe Sternbach says the following. And we'll just read the English. So how does he paskin about this? So he's like, I'm not going to rule whether it's permitted or forbidden. They're already doing this. Look at the transcript, source 16. I'm not going to rule that's permitted or forbidden. But I only request that those who practice alternative medicine place a sign in their clinic stating that the treatment is entirely in accordance with the natural way. We will explain the reason for this with God's help. In my opinion, the matter depends on the way the treatment is understood by the public. If it's believed that there is such a natural power, even if it's not certain, it has been accepted among us that this does not constitute a change in the natural order, and therefore it's a natural force. There's no prohibition of witchcraft, of kishuf, and you can engage in it. However, if it's viewed as kishuf, then it's a problem. That may be that even if the truth is that there's a natural force, a natural force unknown to us, but known to nature in India and China, if it hasn't been accepted by the public, then it's maybe considered like witchcraft. So he says it's advisable to forbid it for, he said, even if it's only perceived as a change in natural order, it might be considered of kishuf. So he's like hedging his bets. He said, but you should just say this is a natural type of healing. What's interesting is that Rav Asher Weiss, in this tshuva of this EFT, which is, again, it's not exactly Reiki, but it's a similar kind of idea, he says, therefore, it seems that when one influences the body by increasing and transferring energy, there is no difference whether it's done by touching the body or distant from him. There was a tshuva that said maybe it's different. I think even in Reiki, I read a little bit that you can even, or some of these treatments, you put your hand on the person, but you can even affect you the change if you're not standing near the person and putting in something else. He says, according to them, there's an influence of the natural system of the body and the soul. There is no prohibition of this. Oh, before that, I'm sorry, source 17. This is your point, as you mentioned before. Abai and Rava say, anything that's based on refuah, it's not darchei amori. In other words, if you're doing it because you believe that this is a medical treatment, then this is not a pagan practice. So bottom line is that, and I think, again, I haven't done a tremendous amount of research. I think that, again, you know, some of these practices, there are some studies that may have shown that it does have an impact on emotions, on anxiety, on depression by doing these type of practices. To put your hand on someone who has a broken leg and all of a sudden they feel better, they don't have a broken leg. I don't think these studies are tried and true. But that maybe has a calming influence and deals with anxiety, dealing with depression, dealing with stress. So I think that I read that there have been some studies. But Rav Asher Weiss thinks it's permitted. So bottom line is, Rav Asher Weiss thinks that it's permitted. He said it's not Darchei Amori. He said it's permitted. It's not Darchei Amori. He thinks it's for the purpose of refuah. It's not Darchei Amori. He's of the view, again, that we don't view this. This is not viewed. He takes an even more permissive stand, I think, than Rav Moshe Sternbach. He says this is not viewed. Again, you're not worshiping this universal force. You're trying to harness this. And so I think he takes a more, I think Rav Soloveitchik would say this is, again, I don't know if he mentioned about this about hypnosis. And again, I don't want to say that he said this about this, but I think in terms of alternative medicine, he says, again, you really should focus on conventional medicine. That should be your priority. But when it comes to these types of alternative medicine, like Reiki, like this, EFT, he seems to say that he holds that, against Rav Belsky. He may disagree on facts and halacha here, maybe. He feels that it's not a lot of life force. You believe you're trying to harness some natural energy. And he thinks, again, it's not his preferred method. His preferred methods are the conventional methods, but he thinks that it would be permitted. It's not, again, first try, priority is conventional, then alternative, and it's not considered pagan practice.